about the story of Noah and working together as God's family for a common purpose to find peace. We're going to start that by playing a quick game, and I need some volunteers for this game. And if children, you'd like to come and sit on the dinosaur mats, you're really welcome to. Anybody else, for that matter, is welcome to sit on the mats. I need a few people to play this game who are good at counting. Not into loads of high numbers, but one or two digits is fine. So anyone who's good at counting wants to come and help me play this game. Great, there's one volunteer. Brilliant, excellent. do you want to play? It's not a difficult game, it's really quite easy. I need maybe a few more people. We're going to stand here till you turn up, so I've got all day, it's fine. Brilliant, there we are, wonderful. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I maybe need a few more, sorry, to make this work. Maybe like 3 or 4 more people would be brilliant. Brilliant, well done. A round of applause. Very good. Well done, Dave. Okay, it's a very simple game. So if you could just stand in the middle of the space, and what I'm going to do is move around the church with the roving mic and ask you to say a number into the microphone. And when you hear the number, you have to get into a group of that number. Okay? That's all I'll say. You'll see. Okay, so who'd like to shout volunteer first number? Oh, great. Yeah.
3
is your number. Oh, that was good. Okay, that's good. Well done. Okay, somebody over here was going to... There was a... Yeah.
7.
Is this on? All right, yeah. I've done it, yeah. Yeah, I've done it. Oh, okay, yeah. Well done. Okay, so a bit harsh on 2 people. That's fine. You can see how this is going. Okay, any more suggestions? Any more numbers? Oh, yeah.
5.
I want to do one more here. Is that on, isn't it? Yeah, very good. So almost there. Okay, last one.
2.
2. Oh, Dave. Oh, Dave. Okay, but surely somebody needs to say one last number. Kind of a nice
9.
Number to... Exactly, there we are.
9.
9, brilliant. Wonderful. Hooray. Very good. Okay, so hang on. So it's kind of a bit of a harsh game, isn't it? Because when there are various numbers that don't quite work out, either some people are left out or you're in individual groups. So how did it feel if you were one of the... Dave, how did it feel to be completely left out by the group?
It was worse that I got left on my own after having a partner.
Yeah, they ditched you pretty quickly, which is a
really
shame.
It was really sad.
That is sad. Anyone else who was left out, how did that feel? Is it a nice thing or not a very nice thing?
It's not very nice. It's not very nice, but like when you get joined by somebody, it tends to make it a lot better.
Yeah.
Especially if they leave someone
else. Yeah, a bit of help. But then what happened when somebody shouted, when Vicky shouted 9? What? How did that feel? How did that feel?
Cool.
That was a bit better. Yeah, I think it was. Thank you. Round of applause for number game. The point of that game, obviously, is that it's actually not very nice being left out. It's much better to work as one community. And there was some good teamwork going on. But even with 3, there were still pockets of 3 different groups. Who knows what each group were doing? A little bit isolating. In the story of Noah, the world had really gone wrong, hadn't it? We heard in the version that Dave read that the world was like a sewer. It wasn't that just some people were being a bit mean. It was absolutely, totally beyond repair. It had gone to the point where it was so wrong, God had to start again. And more than just feeling a bit left out, people were absolutely all for themselves, weren't they? It was just all going really badly wrong. And yet Team Noah had a very specific goal, working together to sort it out. A few Noah facts for you. So Noah was the 10th generation from Adam, so the kind of descendants who'd moved out of the Garden of Eden and were populating the earth. Most of them had turned their own way, but just Noah and his family hadn't. And Noah's father comments when Noah's born that he will comfort us from our painful toil. And do you know what Noah's name means or sounds like? Clever people know. Can you remember? I'll tell you, I didn't know until I looked it up. It's really similar to a Hebrew word that means rest or relief. So by saying the name of Noah, it sounded like saying rest or relief. So he was always going to be doing something really, really significant. But why did God choose Noah? Well, I think Noah was very important because he had three things in his toolkit. His middle name was Stanley, as you can tell. But he had three very important things in his toolkit. Anyone else, anyone like to come and help me discover what was in his toolkit? You can. Brilliant. Do you want to come and find the first thing? Okay. So the first thing Noah had in his toolkit was to build the ark was this. Let's have a listen. Yeah, wow. So, I think there was a slight sound issue. He was listening to some really upbeat gospel music. Actually, it sounds... yeah, do you want to hold these? Well done. Well done, well done. There we are, yeah. He wasn't in his own special underground nightclub. I suppose a sort of Christian... No, not Christian that time. A godly nightclub. Anyway, we'll move on. He was a righteous man, so he listened and was obedient, is that really important point. Nobody else was listening to God, but Noah was really listening and obeying what God wanted him to do, which meant he was righteous or a good man. So that's the first important thing in the toolkit. Do you want to do the next one? Okay, the next one is in here. Oh, ooh, whoops, do you want to, oh, it's a bit tricky, there we are. Do you want to hold this? Oh, sorry, hold it up. So Noah was blameless. Ooh. I would maybe hold it like this, just in case it gets a bit warm. Well done. So he was blameless. So a bit of a light in his generation, which meant that everything had gone so wrong, Noah was able to show a different way. So he was an example of how God wanted people to live. And so in that sense, he was like a light in this really, really dark world. And I don't think he may have had this in his toolkit because it's a bit ahead of his time. But Rowan Williams' book, Being Disciples, is actually a very, very good book. And there is a chapter on holiness, and he describes holy people like this. He says, holy people actually make you feel better than you are. A holy person somehow enlarges your world, makes you feel more yourself, opens you up, and affirms you. Real holiness somehow brings into your life the sense of opening up opportunity and changing things. And then he says, a holy person helps you to change the perception of your landscape with a new light on it. It opens up new horizons. It's a whole load of very interesting things, more about holiness. But I really like the idea that a holy person isn't about just being perfect and doing the right thing. It's about enabling to pass on something from God, to open up your landscape and actually be something more of who you are supposed to be. And that was really what Noah was like, I think, like a light. Brilliant. You can put it just on the floor there if it's getting a bit dangerous. Okay. All right, one more person who, do you want to come up? The third and final thing in Noah's toolkit. No? Okay, anyone else? Don't have to? That's all right. I'll do it. So, he had this. Do anyone know what this is? A shoe, yeah. But is it not any other kind of shoe you've ever seen before? Well, you may have once or twice. It's a very, very exciting shoe. Ooh. It needs this. Yeah. It needs this next to it. It is, yes, it is one of Stephen's shoes. Yeah. He's very kindly lent it. I love the fact they're individually wrapped to protect them. The point is, so he was, what do the headphones represent? He was righteous, because he listened. He was blameless, an example. And the third thing it tells us is that he walked with God. But the language of walking with God, similar to being back in the Garden of Eden, actually describes Noah as worshipping God in a vibrant way. Sorry, let's remember my notes, because it's really good. Vibrant, intimate, and a worshipful relationship with God. So a vibrant, intimate, worshipful relationship with God. So it wasn't just a kind of a boring, oh, I'll trot along with God. It was a really exciting, amazing journey alongside God. In a sparkly shoe, I think, if he had them around, I think he would have probably put them on. Maybe not while he was building the ark. He would have got messed them up. So the point is, Noah had these amazing things in his toolkit, which meant only he could do this great thing for God. We're going to play another very quick game now. Thank you. Round of applause for our volunteers. Thank you. Great. Okay, so we're going to play a game, and I need two helpers, so I have already lined up, thank you, who are going to help us to play this. So there is a very old Chinese parable of heaven and hell, and in each place there are banqueting tables with big bowls of rice. But also in each place there are 6 foot, it's not quite that, but almost, 6 foot long chopsticks. And in heaven everyone's full, and in hell everybody is hungry. So I wonder if you can work out what is the tactic that they're using in heaven that means everyone is full. The rules are you have to use the chopsticks. You have to hold the end of the chopsticks like this. Anyway, see if you can work this out. Okay, come and have a look and see if you can help Vicky and Matt as they try and work this out. Okay, yeah, that's good. Oh, very good.
Can you jump? Jump.
Yeah.
Jump. You want to jump?
Oh, very close. Very close. Okay, have a go. Have a go. Oh, yeah. This is a smash and grab tactic.
It's harder than it looks.
It is actually quite difficult. Oh, no. It's obviously quite a messy banquet, I think. Okay, yeah. So pretty, oh, there we are. That's good. Yeah, go, go. Oh, could be a tram line thing going on. Good, oh. Okay, not successful. Anybody, can you help? How could they eat the rice by holding the end of the chopsticks to get it in their mouths? What do you think? Say again? Feed each other. What a great suggestion. Okay, let's see if that works. Yeah. Oh, no.
Here comes the truth. You ready?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hooray! Very good. Brilliant. Very good. Round of applause. Okay, the point of that was, it is really important to work together. And the question I always have in Noah's story is, the Bible tells us that Noah did this. Noah talked to God, Noah built the ark, Noah gathered the animals. But could he have done it on his own? I'm not sure, actually. If you look at the maths of the Bible and the different things it tells you in that chapter, chapter 6, there's about 100 or 120 years between God telling Noah to build the ark and the flood arriving. So we had about 100 years. His children were born roughly 20 years after that started, so they might have had about 80 or 90 years with adult children. It's told he left what he was doing and got on building, so he could have been a wealthy person who was able to stop what he was doing. He could have hired some help. Nobody really knows, and I don't think we'll probably ever know, but I think probably they did help, and I think if you work out how big it was about 36 tennis courts, and scientists now think you could actually fit two of every kind of known species in the ark, interestingly. It would have been possible. And if you work out how much help Noah had, the shape of the ark, the size of the ark, and the skills they would have had at that time, some people think it could have taken 65 years to build the ark if his family, sort of extended family, had helped. I think they did help because I think they needed together to build this ark, a completely bonkers suggestion in the middle of the desert that God had given them, with a flood where it never rained, to do this, to work it out, and to fulfill the first part of the vision of bringing peace, which was to rid the world of this sewer-like world that had come into being. The second thing is they had to work together for this vision of peace, to rebuild the world, to repopulate the world, without going into too much detail, but that would have needed to be happening after the flood had gone. It was just a fact. So the community of Noah's family, I think, would have also shared these values of righteousness, being blameless, and walking with God. Because of the head of the family, Noah would have distilled those, would have shared those values with his family. If they hadn't have had those values, the sons and wives wouldn't have been allowed on the ark. And also, they wouldn't have been able then to build this brand new world that we're going to think about in a minute, that was then a right world with God, a world of peace, a world that God actually wanted to be there. So the family together had righteousness, they listened and obeyed, they were a really good example of how to be holy, and they walked with God in a jubilant, fervent, exciting, worshipful way. And that is how together they built the ark and were able to start again, to start the human race once again. So for us today, many years after the ark and the flood, I wonder what it means for us. I wonder how we as a community, as an extended God's family, as adopted sons and daughters of God, can work on a common vision for peace. And I wonder what that looks like. I think probably using these values. So how can we be united in our listening and in our obedience together as a church family? How can we be good examples of how to be holy people as a community? I'm sure we're all doing that individually, but how, as a community, can we expand the horizons of other communities that we come into contact with? What do people see when they look at us as a church community? And how together can we worship as one? So going back to our game with all the little pockets of people, that's great, and it's good to worship in groups or on our own, but actually, rather than being lots of people worshiping at the same time, how can we worship as one, as a collective? It's a bit different, isn't it? This, I think, can show us a lot about how we could then work to build a vision for peace as a community for God. So, in your groups, just for about 1 or 2 minutes, I just want you to chat with the people next to you and think about what practically could this mean? What could it practically mean to be righteous, blameless, or walking with God as a community? What can we do to do that? And what is peace that God might be calling us to build in Ely or the places that we live? Probably Ely if we're being one community. So what does this mean for us literally today as a community? And what is the peace that God might want us to build? Okay. Very simple questions. I'm sure you'll answer them quickly.